Well, this morning we might have been a little bit on the heavy side when it comes to darkness in the world and all the things that are there. Tonight we're going to be in a different direction, and so I wanted to change a couple things up and go into this direction tonight. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in John chapter 15. Once we become a Christian, once we come to that place in our life when we become a Christian, we stepped out of that lostness and stepped into a new life with Jesus, there's a lot of things that happen through time. And we learn those basics of getting up on Sunday morning and showing up at church. We get the basics, either maybe hitting Sunday school or Wednesday night service. We get the basics of learning how to pray purposefully. We learn how to listen to the Holy Spirit. We start what we call growing up in Jesus, if we are attending on Sundays on a regular basis, and you all that are here tonight are faithful, so you know, we thank you for being faithful, and it is an encouragement to the church when you show up, but it's important for you to show up for yourself so that you stay faithful in the Lord. But we get those places, and then there's things, and when we talk about spiritual warfare, like, you know, we didn't talk so much about this morning, but it was a part of that, and usually when we get into that, we want to stick there in Ephesians chapter 6 and just stay with the armor of God, but it goes even a lot more than that. But tonight I want to talk to you about sometimes as a Christian, things change in your life, and you're not sure why. Now, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit in us, we should know the voice of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit. He speaks through His Spirit, and He speaks to us through His Holy Spirit, and of course His Word, and some other ways He does things as well. Sometimes He gives signs to things and those kind of things. But sometimes I want to get to this place tonight that this is when we start growing up in the Lord and we start realizing that everything is not spiritual warfare, but sometimes God is doing things in our lives for a purpose. And this will be part of this tonight. So I think I said we're going to be in John chapter 15 tonight. As Jesus talks to His disciples, He gets very personal with them. And I want to share with you, and we're going to kind of go slow tonight. I don't mean I'm going to drag it out tonight. We'll be done on time. I'm going to go slower tonight in these scriptures so that we understand. And so I'm not going to read them all at one time tonight. We're going to take them down in little pieces so we can chew on them for a moment and move on to the next, because we need to understand and know that we are a part of something bigger than ourselves. When we are lost... We have a tendency to feel like everything's about our country, everything's about what I want out of life, but when we become a Christian, we see that it is a whole much more bigger than that. It's a lot bigger than the United States. It's a lot bigger than just the life that I live, that the moment in time that I'm allowed to live here on this time span in this world. There's a lot more going on, and God has a much bigger vision than our nation has, and a much bigger vision than whatever we can even fathom. This thing is huge, but there's a place in it that we need to understand. So if we go to John chapter 15, we're going to break this down a little bit tonight, because I want us to know that sometimes there's going to be changes in your life that's going to feel good. Sometimes there's going to be some changes in your life, and it ain't going to feel so good, okay? And sometimes we feel like that is the devil every time something is not feeling. No, it's not always that way. And I want to share with you tonight. So let's look at this thing. We're going to break it down in small pieces. Sometimes it's a verse, sometimes it's a half a verse. But let's go there. And before we do, let's go ahead and just pray. Father, Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity tonight just to break into this word, that we might grow closer to you, stronger in our walk with you, and be the person, the individual that you want us to be. But Lord, to do that tonight, I pray, Father, that all of our hearts would be open tonight, all of our ears and eyes would be open to this word tonight, that we may know that we need it for our spiritual health, and we need it for our life today. And we ask it in Christ's name, amen. So we look in John chapter 15, and we look at the piece here, and he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine The vineyard keeper. So he says, I am the true vine. So Jesus is the true vine, and the Father God is the vineyard keeper. So they are working together, okay? They work together. And so when they work together, we can get into other areas of being engrafted, but we're not going to go there tonight. We're going to stay right here. He says this in verse 2, every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. There comes a time sometimes in our life that if it's not producing, God will want to remove it, okay? Now, we could talk about the things of sin, but we should know that through the Holy Spirit. We should know that we have conviction. We have the conviction of sin, and we need to confess those sins before the Lord and take care of that. This year, if we're looking at these things, if it's not working, it's not producing fruit, sometimes God's going to shut it down. God's going to shut it down. And that doesn't mean that if it's not producing what he wants it to produce, which is the fruit he's looking for. Now, I want to tell you, there's fruit that we look for. That's not always the fruit he's looking for. Okay? He's looking for his fruit. He's looking for something to grow on that thing. So he said, and this is not about works get you into heaven. This is for the believer who's serving the Lord and is a follower. But he says here, he says, every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. Okay? If we jump down just for a moment in verse 5, he reminds him and says, I am the vine, you are the branches. We are the branches, okay? So when it's talking about that, we are the branches, okay? If it does not produce fruit, sometimes he's going to remove it. He removes it, okay? So he removes. He removes that piece. Sometimes it can be something in your life. He removes it. Sometimes it can be something in your ministry. He shuts it down. He's just going to shut down. Okay? He's going to remove that part. If that branch in there is not, and also there's people that God will also remove. Okay? These are the things that does not produce fruit. Okay? Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. Okay? And we see that in churches today. There's a lot of churches that are packed full. Now, I want to remind you that numbers don't impress the Lord. Okay? Numbers don't. The hearts. That's why Jesus, I believe Jesus is a heart collector. And when we get into these things of serving God, creating buildings, creating ministries, all those things, if it's not producing his fruit, and God's fruit is eternal fruit. You knew that, right? It's all eternal. It's for what? But we create things sometimes that are not really birth for what we really, we might have a good intention, but deep down sometimes it's not the right intentions. But we want to know, we need to know this tonight, that sometimes God removes branches, okay? Sometimes he removes people. There's been some times, even in New Life's history, that God has removed some people. And some other churches that I've been to. And we'll get to another piece in a minute, but there's been some that we're not producing, but actually we're doing the opposite. They weren't just not producing fruit, but they were infecting other branches. They were infecting other branches. I believe here we've been pretty blessed. God has protected us. You know, as many times have I shared a few times of some different stories, but I am reminded of a few stories when we first started and God protected us. And, you know, people come up and say some pretty ugly things when you're trying to figure out how to pastor and how to preach and all that. And people come up and say some pretty ugly things. And I said, Lord, I don't know how to deal with these type of people. You call me to do this. These people are pretty nasty. There's a few pretty nasty people here. They butchered everything down that we did and butchered the preaching, butchered the singing. I'm like, Lord, why did they even come? They were so negative. And then turn around complaining about the kids being noisy and those kind of things. And I just said, Lord, I don't know what to do with these people. I remember praying, Lord, if they're not going to be an additive to this church, I'm just going to ask you to take them out of here. Put them somewhere else. We can't handle that right now. We just started. And I've seen that God did that. Okay, so there's branches that are going to be ruined. But he goes on, he moves on, and he begins to say this then. So every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. He's going to remove it, okay? It's got to be about him. It's got to be about his works. And we must produce fruit, okay? We can't sit in the pews and not produce. We can't go out in the world and just act like we can just come on. So we have to produce. We have to be the light. He goes on, he says, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that we'll produce more fruit. This is the one we struggle with the most. Jesus says, my Father is going to prune branches, even though there's fruit on it, we're going to prune it so that it will produce more fruit. Okay, so there's times in your life, how many of y'all had a ministry change in your life? And you walk with the Lord, you have a ministry change. Sometimes those changes came really smooth, but other times they didn't come so well. And sometimes everybody have those moments where we had this ministry, we weren't sure what we were doing, it was going great, and then the pastor comes up and asks you to change ministries. Yeah, somebody in the church, we begin to ask and say, hey, what would you like, we want to shut that down. We want to move forward. We want to move you forward into this direction, or we want you to step away from that for a while. And then basically what happens is, there's a part there that God begins to prune. Maybe it looks like the good things in your life, and you're like, what am I supposed to do? Well, you need to remember that this is about that you might produce more fruit. There is a testing of our faith through all of this. So there is pruning. There is pruning of the branches. Now I look at my life and I can see some things there that growing up and going into the military, and I was doing my own thing and I was a Christian at that time, and I believe that God removed some things out of my life that needed to be done. And I believe also through some ministry, me growing up and working in some other churches and ministries, and I'm like, man, I don't know how I'm going to do it without this ministry. That ministry is amazing to me. Look at it. It's very effective. And I didn't realize that God was cutting one thing off so that I might do another. Sometimes God will tell you to cut something off because he has something for you. Sometimes God will cut something off and not tell you at the moment. So you're going to look like that. You're going to sit there looking like a rose bush with no beautiful roses on it, but you're all thorny looking and it just don't look good. But it's in those times when we need to stay faithful. It's in those times when we're tested, will we stay faithful? And it's in those times when we look at it like, wow, I thought I was doing good. I thought my ministry was on fire. Five people come to the Lord in the last year. I was really reaching out. We went up from 10 people to 25 people. Things are looking good. Then all of a sudden, the church asked me to change or wants to move something. Or I feel like the Lord's calling me away from it, and I don't know why. And I've just stepped away from it, and I don't understand. It's because sometimes God is pruning you. Sometimes God is pruning you. It's not like many people say, well, every time something negative happens as a Christian, we think the devil is doing it. We call it negative. And it's not always a negative thing. Sometimes what looks bad is not really bad, but God is doing an adjustment in your life. And he begins to prune. He's going to prune some things in your life. And I've seen that even here with our music. Making some people very upset when I did it. And I remember it. Without getting too deep into that, I came in and said, listen, guys, we're going to have to dissolve the praise team for a bit. And I know some people got upset about that. And there was some pruning that went on. But as a pastor, you're going to hear some things. You're going to hear the words that people have that are going to say some things. And it just, there was a time when we just had to cut that, and then I was like, okay, what are we going to do? So I asked Ashley to be a part of that and prayed about that, and I knew that she would, how long have you been doing this? How long? 4 years, so that puts you about 20, 21. A 20-year-old cannot lead 40-year-old people. It's just not going to happen. A couple of 55-year-old men, a 20-year-old cannot lead that person, those people successfully. Okay, especially a female, okay? It's just not going to happen. So I had to separate that. And I know I made some people upset, but but I also know that there was some grumbling here, there. But I'm just saying, pruning has got to happen from time to time. Pruning has to happen from time to time so that we will grow in some other areas. And people took it wrongly, and here's what happened. Most of them people don't even come to church today. So I'm wondering whether it was because they were singing. I'm just being honest. Because when we look at it the way we should look at it through the eyes of the Holy Spirit, we should say, listen, okay, maybe I need to step away from that and let me see what God has for me now. Let's see what door God's going to open for me now, because we need to remember these are testing ground. These are testing things sometimes to find out what's going on. And so here we see this part here. He says, every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. Also, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. Okay, then he says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you. He continues to give us warning and give us instruction that we need to remain in him. He'll remain in us. But he says this, just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. So we cannot do the things that God wants us to do unless we remain in the Lord. And we do it for the way that the Lord wants us to do it. We take so much credit. We take so much the desire to see what we want. We want to see our desires instead of what we see that the Lord wants. And the Lord sees some things different than us. But he says this, I am the vine and you are the branches. We need to remember that. We are not the tree trunk. Okay? We are not the vine, and we are not the vine dresser. We are the branches. And off the branches, that's where the fruit comes from. Okay? But fruit won't come from it unless you are connected to the vine. Okay? The branch can't produce fruit unless it's connected to the vine. And the vine dresser is the same one as the potter. It is the Lord. So the Lord is the vine dresser, and we see that we need to work it together, and God is working for us to produce fruit. What kind of fruit does he want? He wants us to live a righteous life on an ungodly living world amongst sinners. He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be obedient to him, faithful to him. He wants us to be growing in him. He wants us to be a light in the darkness. He wants us to grow in our knowledge of him, grow in our walk of him. He wants us to be the person that he has designed us to be for him here, that we might produce fruit, that others might see your actions and ask why you live like that. Why do you go to church? That you give a biblical, godly answer. And then you are able to share the gospel and live out the gospel, that we produce fruit. But he says, if anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. And if you remain in me and my words remain in you, here we go. Here's the good part. If you remain in me and I remain in you and my words remain in you. Has any of you ever seen a person who come to know Jesus and become that Christian and turn around somewhere in their walk with the Lord? They have something has happened and they are not the same as they used to be. They've drifted like a prodigal son. And they do not do the things with God as they used to do. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. Some of us have been like that. And when we do that, we're rebelling against God. We're not being what we need to be with God. And we have some things. We remember God, but we're not talking to God much. So when our walk with Jesus isn't where it needs to be and we start fading away, we don't really pray. We don't really attend church. We don't really read his word. And what happens is something happens in that person's life, and all of a sudden, now they remember who God is. But they don't go back to God. Many don't go back to God. They just know to pray. How many of you think that, well, let me just read this piece here. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, this is what he says. Ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that God wants to answer your prayers? Do you believe that God wants to be a part of your life? Do you believe that God wants to give you what you're asking for? And it works with this. It works for those people who remain in him, who are those branches on the vine that are producing that fruit. It is about being what God's called us to be, but being faithful in it. And when we do, we have this opportunity to ask Him whatever we want. And there's other scriptures where He says, you have not because you ask not. He wants to give us. He wants to answer prayer. He wants to do that. And He's telling His disciples, listen, you remain in Me, and My words remain in you. He says, listen, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. I don't think we understand that so much. I don't think we grasp it as much. It's just plain. It's simple. It's right there. It says, when we are following God's will, we're living in this world, and He's in us, and we're in Him. We're that one. Listen, when you speak and you ask, He's right there. He wants to answer it. Do you see your prayers get answered? And I'm not talking about the sunshine. I know farmers would pray for sunshine or rain, but we kind of pray for a good day. I'm just asking, is your prayer serious? Do you expect God to show up? Are you looking around the corner and knowing that, and you anticipate God's answer? You anticipate God putting His hand on your situation? I think that's part of being a Christian, when you know who's in you and you know that He reigns in you, that when you pray that you're anticipating to seeing Him move in your life situation. And I'm going to tell you, you can't have 6 months ago testimonies. They're great for you then. They'll be good for you and they'll help others. But listen, you need to, as a living child of God, we need to have fresh testimonies on a continuous basis, because He is in me. And you can say, He is in me and I am in Him and we're one. And when I ask, He's there and He answers prayer. God answers prayer. He asks and He will give those things to us. I think we struggle with that so much. He says, if we pray and we don't believe it, we're kind of like, you know, in James, we just kind of like, we're just tossing like a boat back and we just all over the place. Next time when you pray, just really seriously think about not just opening your mouth up so quick, but just take a moment and remember who you're talking to. I give you some. Give you some awe moment there. You're talking to God Almighty and you're talking to Him, and He's telling you that if you're in Him, that, and His words are in you, whatever you ask, He's going to grant that. People don't believe it. People don't believe it. If you was to read my journal, you would read this, because it's in there all the time. Lord Jesus, this is me. I'm going to give you a moment inside of my life for a minute. Is that okay? Lord, we ain't got no money. You call us to do these ministries, and we've got about $1,500, and I don't know what we're going to do for the rest of the week. That's going to maybe last about a week, about 10 days, and we're going to be, Lord, this is yours. This is your business. This is your ministry. I'm praying to you. I don't know. I'm not calling. I don't have anybody to call. I'm not asking for any funds. I'm talking to you. You are the supplier. I don't care what person came and wrote a check in front of us. It could be $1 million, but it doesn't. But this is what I say. Lord, you have it all. So I'd rather go to you than anyone else. And I would always put in my journal, I should have brought maybe just a page in my journal or something. It would be, Lord, here we are at $1,500. I don't know where it's coming from. And now all of a sudden, now we got this big bill due and we got it going on. And I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm telling you, Lord, I'm going to leave it at your hands. Next morning, I may get a call, say, hey, Jimmy, would you stop over here and pick something up? Or, hey, somebody just gave me a check. Check the mail. There it is. Whatever. I'm telling you, God shows up every time. Every single time. Because I can't pay the bill, can you? I can't pay. It's almost at $250,000. It's going to be a year. And there's no way that we can't even do a smudge of this stuff. We really can't do it without Him. And we need to continue. And this is when I tell you in Romans, when we read Romans where it says to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn, and I say, hey, let's experience that. And so what happens, I'll get some people together and say, hey, share something great in your life. You share something because then you're going to rejoice and be happy for that person. And then you turn around and say, okay, now share something that's not so great in your life. And we know that we got a couple here that may be losing a family member. And that'd be something that's like, what's going on in your life? There's a sorrowful moment. I'm not sure what's going to happen with my grandma, this and that. And you share that and you may shed a tear. You may pray. And that's experiencing Scripture. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. That is biblical and it's right. But so is this. If I am in him, it says this. If you remain in me, Jesus says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. He's telling you, I will do it. Because when you are the branch, you're connected to the vine. When you're connected to the vine, you're connected to the trunk, the whole thing. The vineyard dresser is the Lord. And here it is. The fruit comes off of the branches. So here it is. It isn't about getting on, it isn't about asking God to get on your agenda. It's really getting on what God is doing. And when you get on what God is doing, if you go back to Luke chapter 4, you go into Isaiah, you'll see, and Jesus pulls out the word and he says, listen, here is, I've come here to release the captives and to set the captives free, to heal, all those things. And it was about the Lord's business. And this is when we see him walking through the Gospels, healing and casting out demons. He did it because it was about the Lord's business. The disciples in the book of Acts and even in the other scripture, but we see the story of the book of Acts. Here it is. Peter, and there's a man that gets healed here. Another man that gets healed here. A woman that gets some demons cast out of her. And we see all that. How? Because it's about the Lord's business. When you are in the Lord, Lord is in you, and you're about his business, do you think he's not going to answer your prayer? He is going to answer your prayer. And here we see this piece, and he makes this. He says, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be given, and it will be done for you. Why? He says this, my Father is glorified by this. What is it that glorifies the Father? It's right here. It's in Scripture. It's not what I'm telling you. It's what the Word says. He says this, that you produce much fruit. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. You know what all this is really doing? Keeping us close to Jesus. We're about his business. So the Father is glorified by this, that we produce much fruit. So if I'm doing and you're doing the Lord's work and we're out there being that branch and we're trying to produce fruit for the Lord, do you not think that he's not going to answer when we read this scripture? My Father is glorified by what? That you produce much fruit. So if the Father wants us to produce much fruit and we pray about those things, is he not going to answer that? So, because he's glorified through that. So he's glorified when we don't have these funds, that we ask the Lord for them, that we might come back and say, let me tell you how mighty God is. Let me tell you how mighty God is. We should have been shut down. We should never be where we are today. And we know that Satan is going to attack and he's going to continue his things. But if we keep our eyes focused on Jesus, be the branches, we can only deal with that stuff when we need to, and then we let it go because we're too busy producing fruit for Jesus. Okay? So we have these testimonies. And this testimony of, as I said back to my journal, looking at it and seeing that God shows up here, and next thing you know, funds continue to come in. Do you know that we received two checks from two churches? Let's see, two churches in the last week that they just sent checks. One was 900 and some, one was 700 and some. The newsletter, how many of y'all get the newsletter? Put something at the top of it that said something a matter of importance. There were people that, there was another retired pastor that wrote a check and for $1,000 from a Methodist church. A retired pastor. Come down and I met him and wrote a check for $1,000. Saw it in the newsletter, I think. Maybe he didn't. But the Holy Spirit prompted him to write a check for $1,000. Someone else called me, and that's actually when I put it out there and I threw it out there in the e-world, it wasn't 20 minutes later, someone said, hey, I'm going to write a check. And it was another check for $1,000 because they saw that in there. Listen, I don't have to go around and ask people for anything. I share the story. We're to share the story. God hasn't put that on my heart to ask right now. It's just sharing the story, praying. And God's done a pretty good job of taking care of His ministries, don't you think? He's done a pretty good job of taking care of this church. And there's been times where he's like, okay, maybe I might have to hold some checks back, even from the church side. And just talking with Scott, we're like, okay, we're just, you know, we've been here before. We're just going to trust the Lord. And guess what? The Lord takes care of business. Because when you are on His, when you are a branch on His vine, fruit is being produced. All you got to do is ask, and He takes care of it. And He takes care of those things. I always want to tell you this, though. Someone said, well, I prayed for something and it never happened. I always want to tell you this. God is doing more than you can see. God is doing more than we know. Also, the picture is bigger than what I know. The picture is bigger than what you see. Because everything with God is much bigger than what we can understand and fathom. We see it as the ministries we do. But there's something much bigger that He is doing. I just know that. He's teaching people to give outside of their... I mean, when you get a retired pastor, a Methodist pastor, and he comes and brings and writes and cuts a check for $1,000, do you not know that that's crossing denominational barriers? Which is very hard for people sometimes. And to give it to another denomination... But the man seen it, and the Holy Spirit worked on it, and it wasn't that he was giving it to New Life, he was giving it to the need, to the fruit on the branches, the fruit that goes there. I know this, I want to glorify God. Do you? I want to glorify God with my life. I want to glorify God with my family. I want to glorify God with my call, with the calling on my life. I want to glorify God now that I'm 52. I want to glorify Him in my year of 52. I want to glorify Him also if He allows me to be 53. I want to glorify God when I'm 53, even more than I did when I was 52. I just want to draw closer to Him, but there's going to be moments when He may look like He's going to shut something down. I'm going to close with this tonight. It's a story some of you may know, some of you may not know. I may have said it in brief. But there was a day, there was a weekend that me and Carla went away and we came back on a Monday morning. And I let someone preach here on a Sunday morning and I heard it got a little bit here and there and it wasn't accepted very well. And we had looked at some houses and I got a call from, I think it was from Bob, and Bob was telling me that so-and-so had left the church. And anyway, however all that meant, and I took a moment, and then he said, oh yeah, by the way, the house that we were looking at, all the houses we looked at are just, they're not happening, we just need to shut it down, or we just need to stop right now, because all those houses aren't working, we need to regroup, we need to restart, whatever that means, which means we go back and square one. After that phone call, I stepped in, I was at my house, and God always has a funny way of doing it. He loves to do things when you're by yourself because He's going to mess you up. He's going to put you in a spiritual headlock. But first, I had to complain because I'm a good complainer with God sometimes. I'm embarrassed to say that, but I'm a pretty good complainer with God. And I said, God, I said, I just counted it out. We lost 18 people in 2 weeks. Who? Why? What happened? None of those people collaborated with each other and the vision split. It wasn't that. It was just, they just drifted off. I'm not coming anymore. I don't know why. I even went out and revisited a couple of them, and it was so weird. It was just really weird. It was a weird moment. And so I just complained to God and I said, yeah, God, about this house. You said you had a vision and I can't even put my hands around it. We keep going to these places in this house and we just got slammed downtown for that building up there, that we were going to get on that 4-story building. We just got slammed on that. And it looks like, Lord, you're just trying to shut me down. You're just trying to shut this down. It's all, I don't get it. I don't understand. What are you doing? This don't make no sense to me. It makes no sense to me. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, He removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that we'll produce more fruit. So he took some branches out. I didn't like it. Folks, I didn't like it. That's 18 people in 2 weeks. I didn't like it. Then he's going to prune. Man, I was ready for some more fruit to grow on that vine, on that branch right there, and it looks like nothing's happening. So I go and I complain to God for about an hour. You know, my house is not super big, it's just tall, it seems like, but I was pacing up my house, just complaining to God, waving my hands and just complaining to him. I get a little like that from time to time. It's not that I'm a Pentecostal, it's just I love the Lord and we're gonna have it a little bit. And then something inside of me I finally got out of the flesh. And then I started apologizing to God and said, God, I'm sorry. And next thing I know, I was in tears and I repented. I asked for forgiveness and I began to follow what Scripture says. If I ask for forgiveness, He'll forgive me those sins, but also I need to repent from them. So I repented. And I said, Lord, I don't want to do this no more. I don't want to argue with you because you're right and I'm wrong and I'm sorry and this and that. And when I said amen, the phone rang. Bingo. And that's when Bob called me back. We got a house. I'm like, what are you talking about, Bob? We ain't got no money for that house. That house is $30,000. Well, they're going to take 21, or 21, and we had 22,000. I'm like, sold, yeah, great. So we got off the phone, and he started working his magic over there, doing what he's going to do with this house stuff. And then the next hour, I just spin in the house instead of going, come on, what are you doing? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I love you. I don't like pruning. Just naturally, I don't like pruning. I don't like the cutting off of the branches. I don't like losing people. I don't like the beautiful flowers coming off at times. I don't like the fruit coming off. But it was so that we could produce more fruit. And it needed to be His way and not my way. And I remember, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. Lord, we want a house. We really want to do a women's shelter. Lord, we want it. And He gave it. And He says, my Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit. God wants to produce fruit here. I really think so. I think right now there's a little bit of pruning going on. I don't like it. I don't like it that we only have one female. Now, Carla will think it's been great, but I don't like it just having one female in our women's shelter right now. Stephanie probably thinks it's great. It's got a whole place almost to herself. It'd be totally different when we get a full house, because I'm used to a full house. I miss seeing all the ladies sitting over here, don't you? Maybe God is saying, do you miss them enough to pray for more? Maybe God was giving Carla and the team a little break. It's very stressful. Maybe God is asking us and challenging us, do we love Him enough to pray that God will bring more to us? Maybe God is challenging our faith, seeing that even when the numbers are low, are you continue to do it? When the other shelters are all full, and are you going to look at it and where are you at? Are you doing this for them? Are you doing it for me or whatever? So what does all this do in the concept of leading it and being a part of it? Listen, it's keep praying about it. Keep being faithful on the sunny days and the rainy days. The vine dresser is always taking care of his vineyard. I'm a believer tonight. How about you? I'm a part of that vineyard. And from time to time, he comes up to my part, my branch, and he does a little pruning, and I don't like it. I just don't want it. But you know, when those little new blooms start popping, it's always beautiful. I have roses in my backyard, and they look pretty ugly right now. And you give it another 3 months, and it's going to be the most colorful spot in our backyard. Because I have to also prune my roses, because I know what happens when you prune them. They are beautiful. And I know what happens when God prunes His people. They just get more beautiful. May not feel good at the moment, But listen, God can bring 100 people in here next week. He can do a move that something we can never do. But what's the sense of having all that if God's not in it? What's the sense of having all kinds of ministries if God's not in it? So here's what I'm going to ask you to do tonight. He says if we do it His way and we remain in Him, He says if we ask, then He will give and He will answer. Tonight I would tell you, I was talking to Scott just for a moment. I would like to let you know that on Sundays, me and Scott don't talk much. We just don't. We talk more on the phone during the week. Me and Dan, we just don't talk much. We're more talking with you guys and other people. We know our spot. That's just what we need to do. But I know that we have a quarterly bill coming up here. I just told him, I slipped the bills in your mailbox. It's our quarterly bill. It's going to be about $2,700 because we're adding a new van. We get a church van. We'll be pulling in here. Next week, you'll see a church van here. But it comes at a cost, a financial cost. So we have that coming up. We have a video that we have to pay for, and we did get a grant for it, but anyway, we're going to owe $2,000 on the video. But we're going to have to pay for that. There was a couple other bills. We have to pay property tax on the building church across the street just because that's the new law. Just for the one more time, what we need to pray or pay it, and that's about $700. So we're going to need, and we have a big event coming up this Friday. Just to clear those things, we're going to need about $5,000 just to clear those big things off of our bill sheet or whatever it may be. But I know this: God is good. He's called it to it. He's going to pay for it. People's asked about what we should raise. I might have threw a number out, but I regret throwing the numbers out. I just want God to do whatever He wants to do. If He wants to do $10,000, I'll praise Him for $10,000. If He wants to do $50,000, I'll praise Him for $50,000. Folks, there are people that's coming to this event that I've never met that can take care of everything with one check. But I'm not impressed by that. It's always being impressed by the Lord Jesus Christ, because I'm reminded of this. Even though a man could write a check for $1 million, God even has more than that. God has it all, because God is the owner of all things. So I want to ask tonight that you would pray about, I've never done this about our finances in this way, but that you would pray about our finances tonight. The church and the ministries. And they both struggle a little bit. But the ministries really needs a good, we got to restore this house over here, and we just really need a good gift from God. We need a really big gift from God. Someone asked, number one, that you might pray for that tonight, but also for yourself. If pruning is going on in your life and you're struggling with it, I understand. It is hard. If you feel like it's not working for you and you feel like God's just kind of working you over, I'm going to ask that you come tonight and just be open with God about it. Just be open. And when you're down here, just lift your hand up if you want somebody to pray with you. Because I know when you're frustrated with your walk in the Lord, it's not the Lord is frustrating. We're just frustrated. I get frustrated. Then I need sometimes somebody to pray for me. In the last week, I've been on the phone and a couple of guys have said this: Jimmy, let me just pray for you guys right now. Let me just pray for you guys right now. I'll be driving down the road. I don't close my eyes, but I'm going to keep my eyes, but I listen to those prayers. There's a lot of people that pray for us. But in closing, I just visited a church down in Indianapolis called Faith House, I think it is. Anyway, they bought a building that is 5 times worse than the building we got because their ceilings are caving in over there. They bought it for $120,000 in the inner city of Indianapolis. It is a piece of junk. But they are turning it around, and they owe no money on it, but they're going to have to borrow to get it. Listen, they're excited. Nobody really believed them, kind of like us. But they've been in existence for about 5 years. They're running about 80 on a good, really good Sunday. They say they can run 120, 130. 60% of their church is white. The rest, they have 10 different nationalities. They are at the crossroads where there are 10 different nationalities. They asked us to pray for them, for their endeavors and for what God has called them to do. So I'm going to ask you to pray for this church in Indianapolis, pray for our finances, and if your life needs to be kind of adjusted and God's pruning on you, believe me, He's not picking on you. It may feel like it, but God is not picking on you. He's just maybe pruning you, and that's okay. So let's go ahead and stand tonight.